This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Robin McCarron.
You know, we had some feedback from our last show.
Okay.
Episode 94. More than one person told me or spoke to others and said that I was a little rude to you, cutting you off, not letting you get picks in, forgetting your existence, really.
Jeff Hawkins.
I'm being trolled. Hold right on,
Jeff,
aren't I?
Jeff, wait. Wait, I have breaking news coming into the news desk here.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Daniel, have you ever seen a ghost?
Two of my favorite people were born on this day. A well-adjusted person is one who makes the same mistake twice without getting nervous. Alexander Hamilton. Popularity has everything to do with business and nothing to do with music. Donald Fagen. Today on Shake Them Ropes, a new U.S. champ, a new U.K. champ, soon to be a new Universal champ, to the WWE's war on American football as The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, and the scrappy duo of the WWE, Stephanie McMahon, battle the college football championship, targeting a big match for Braun. The UK tournament battles the NFL playoffs. Was SmackDown Baron Corbin's big break from scout team? And the Dolph Ziggler heel push appears to be a false start. And perhaps American Alpha aren't ready for primetime. That and our top 100 match from WrestleMania 7. Randy Savage versus the Ultimate Warrior. I'm Jeff Hawkins, holding the clipboard, running the first string offense as always, your host, Rob McCarron.
Hi, and everybody.
Hi, Rob. When I say a scrappy, do you know what I'm referencing? Or a scrappy do?
Yeah, you're referencing like a smaller guy, a little bit thinner, you know, someone who isn't going to overpower you, but they got to find different ways to win.
No, I am not. Rob. I am referencing an otherwise annoying character who drags down the rest of the show with that person's presence, even if you like the product generally. Examples of scrappies could be new characters put in there, such as, say, Olivia on the Cosby Show when all the other kids were getting older. It could be someone who just has a poorly written subplot that you're just tired of watching, or who drags down the show's actions. Like Kim Bauer from 24 would be an example of a scrappy dude to me. Stephanie McMahon is possibly the worst character on television. I know you like her. Hashtag bouncy Steph. Hashtag Rob won't get rid of the Dana Brooke open that's getting me heat occasionally. But still, I just, that Raw. But anywho, go ahead.
Go ahead on what? You're the one who asked me a question.
I did, and I answered it because I didn't know what it was.
Wonderful start. Anyway, we're not discussing any of the topics Jeff said on the
good.
If we discuss anything from Raw or SmackDown, it will be either a miracle, or you could also call it a disaster. Because we're not going to talk about anything from those two shows. Anything?
Oh, we aren't? Okay.
We got our top 100 match, which is Macho King Randy Savage versus Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania 7. Excited about that one, as I just literally watched it just right now. Mm-hmm. And we have the Wheel of Topics, as presented by our Twitter audience. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes, follow Jeff at Crap Game 13. And Jeff, I finally did it. I deleted the second Twitter account.
Oh, did you?
It is gone. You cannot find it now. It is deactivated. The only one is now at Shake Them Ropes. Took a lot. I cried a little bit, but it is done. It is good to go now on the Shake Them Ropes feed. And of course, this episode is sponsored by Mack Weldon. This episode is sponsored by the fine folks at Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. And we know because we've tried it. Some less than others. Joe Lanza of the Voices of Wrestling podcast has tried it the most of any of us with his nice little hoodie that he still wears because the fabric and materials are quite long lasting. Not all underwear guys is created equal. Mack Weldon's men's basics look, feel, and perform great. Whether it's working out, going to work, attending your local indie, or just everyday life, you got to try Mack Weldon at mackweldon.com. Treat yourself, guys. Be a king for once. Be a macho king while you're at it, and try the best underwear, socks, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants you'll ever wear. Even better, try them risk-free. That's right. Try the Silver underwear line with naturally antimicrobial, antimicrobial fabric right now. And if you don't like it, you can get your money back without the hassle of returning the pair. That's right. Keep them and still get your money back. That's right. It's so easy. It's just easy. They just want you to try and give them a chance. MacWeldon.com, new brand out there. They just want you to give them a chance. So right now they're giving you the risk-free trial. And by listening to Shake Them Ropes, shopping at MacWeldon.com can save you money. You get 20% off right now with promo code STR. So if you shop at MacWeldon.com, use promo code STR and you get 20% off your first order. Just visit the website. That's MacWeldon.com. Shop on their easy-to-use website, enter promo code STR at checkout, and save 20%. That is a new promo code for 2017, so be sure to use the new promo code STR. That means if you shopped with them before, try it again. Go use the promo code STR at MacWeldon.com. MacWeldon.com, promo code STR. And then try it. Let us know what you think at Shake Them Ropes in the Twitter feed. But that is the sponsor for today's episode. We thank MacWeldon for sponsoring today's episode. A lot to get to. But Jeff, before we get to our top 100 match, the people have spoken. They want to hear us discuss certain things, and I put them all together on the old wheel of topics that we will spin, and we'll figure out what gets onto the show today. You can interact with the show at Shake Them Ropes. The topics right now, Jeff, that I compiled that were all given to us by the listeners. Are you ready to hear what the topics are?
Oh, I'm just dying.
You are dying.
Yes.
He may actually be dying.
Could be.
We have Kenny Omega, Kyle O'Reilly, race and gender discrimination in wrestling, New Japan touring the U.S., how Donald Trump's presidency might affect WrestleMania, the UK tournament on WWE Network, Chris Hero returns, the Drifter main eventing WrestleMania.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
And our final topic, Tino Sabatelli main eventing WrestleMania. These are the 9 topics on the old wheel of topics. We will give it a spin. We will give it a spin right now. And Jeff, let me know what it lands on.
Oh, there's no wheel.
It's spinning. Oh, it's spinning. This is only if Rob remembers the sound effect later on in post. It's spinning. Yeah. It's spinning. We are coming up to the end. Jeff, what do we got?
I can't remember all 9 offhand. Thanks a lot. Nothing really dragged me down.
Let me look over your shoulder. Oh, Kenny Omega. Please. Kenny Omega is our first topic. Sure. Those of you who don't know, Kenny Omega, New Japan Pro Wrestling superstar, has posted that he is taking a break from wrestling, or at least New Japan, and a lot of conflicting rumors out there about when his contract may actually be up, and is he going to be like an AJ Styles type surprise at the Royal Rumble at the end of this month. Jeff, you watched Wrestle Kingdom. I am watching this particular match on Access TV on Friday because I'm waiting for the full screen HD with JR and to see how that goes. So we know, Kenny Omega went out for the IWGP Championship. He lost it to Kazuchika Okada. Is Kenny Omega coming to WWE? And what should we expect? Should we expect anyone from New Japan coming in?
I don't think Kenny Omega's coming to WWE, at least not yet. I think the John Cena Instagram post is what really got people speaking. And I think basically if there's someone with buzz, John Cena wants to wrestle who people think is the best. And I think that's why John Cena posted that, or just out of respect for Kenny Omega's match here, because the match was very, very good. I don't particularly expect Kenny Omega to come in, certainly not by the Rumble. If he does, I think people are going to have very high expectations. I am going to temper those because that's what I do. That's my move. I tend to think Vince McMahon would fall in love with the guy who thought that his forearm was a chainsaw. That kind of goes to his predilections of what he finds entertaining. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Kenny Omega may have some visa issues with coming into the U.S. Now, WWE could get him a work permit, don't get me wrong, but
if there's one company that is going to get around any issues that he had, it's going to be them.
But no, I understand that, but I think he's a big part of this. I think he's a big part of this New Japan coming to America deal. So I don't think he's going.
Let's just build the New Japan touring the U.S. topic. If we spin and land on that later, we'll just skip it because we'll discuss it now. It kind of ties into this. But yeah, Kenny Omega is going to be a big part of them coming in the beginning of July for their Los Angeles string of shows. Kenny Omega is going to be their American superhero, basically.
He's Canadian.
A lot of this, I think. Well, yeah, North America is America, sir.
Okay.
I know he's Canadian, but he's going to be their American superhero. And so here's the thing. So Kenny Omega's playing it up. John Cena obviously playing it up even more. This is what John Cena did with AJ Styles last year. You know, post on Instagram some different teaser pictures, make it seem like, hey, John Cena WWE is teasing something with Kenny Omega. Two prevailing. There's a lot of news out there that Kenny Omega's contract ends on the 31st. You know, what we've been told and what the guys at Voices of Wrestling have been told and what Dave Meltzer originally reported before changing it, because he is very easily worked by the Young Bucks, that his contract doesn't end until next year, that it ends at the end of January next year. Now, part of it, it's, do I believe that 100%? I don't know. It's tough, because if he would have signed a multi-year contract, he would have signed it around Wrestle Kingdom last year, when, yes, he had some big plans for him, but he was still a junior at Wrestle Kingdom last year. And was he really going to be a guy they were going to sign for 2 years? But then at the same time, they signed Rocky Romero for 2 years. So who the hell knows what's going on? I don't think he's going anywhere from New Japan. I know he's missing the February shows, but I think this guy's a major player. They didn't need him for the February shows with the return of Suzuki. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he's going to WWE. I don't think there's going to be a major New Japan surprise at the Royal Rumble this year. I don't even know what the surprise is going to be. Could it be just the fact that they have so many big names? Maybe it's not any one particular surprise. It's just the fact that they have Undertaker, Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, all in that match, maybe even Triple H coming back to wrestle in the Royal Rumble match. Who knows? I don't even know if you need one huge surprise like an AJ Styles. So I don't think we're getting.
I don't think you want that kind of surprise, given the way that they're building this Rumble to really be kind of a, possibly even a breakout in some ways for Braun.
Yeah.
Which they tried last year in some ways with a couple of set pieces. But I think this year, him as a single star, I think they're going to want to focus on him and not want to draw focus with some quote unquote unknown guy stealing all the focus. I don't. So you don't hold it. I mean, well, I don't know this. Let me ask. Do you hold anything to Kenny Omega's statements that he doesn't want to go to WWE? Or do you think that's just kind of playing to a public persona?
Well, no, I believe he doesn't want, if he can be a legend, and he said this in interviews, if he can be the legend that never went to WWE, he would much love that. Like, I think this guy wants to be Sting, you know, with until Sting went to WWE. That's what Sting was. I think he wants to be the best guy ever to never go to WWE. I think he has too much fun. He's kind of like a Kota Ibushi. Kota Ibushi did the WWE thing, but he was never going to sign with them. And Kenny Omega, if he goes to NXT for a couple of shows, he could be that guy, but he's not going to work Royal Rumble and be on the main roster. I just don't see that happening. So no, I don't see him.
I mean, I see him. I think he's a good wrestler. I don't know if he's going to ever hit that.
Yeah.
Serious enough. Where, I mean,
okay, well, here's
his persona is such.
Yeah, and here's the next part of that that kind of plays into what you were just bringing up here. AJ Styles was a guy who was worried that people might not recognize him or know who he was when he went to the Royal Rumble, because he had been on top of TNA, but how big is really TNA by itself, right? He had been a huge star in New Japan for the last couple of years, but how big is New Japan in the U.S.? Now, New Japan has never been bigger in the U.S. than it is right now, but is Kenny Omega a guy who has never been on American TV, even at a TNA level, and is just riding off of like 1.5 years of success in New Japan? Would the people know who Kenny Omega was in San Antonio, Texas?
That crowd might. I you know, for that kind of thing, I think that crowd might. Don't get me wrong. I think that crowd's smarter than the average crowd. But it would take a little bit of time to spread around the arena for those who don't know who he was. I just think he'd come in as a comedy wrestler instead of this badass, which he's still really trying to solidify himself as a quote unquote serious wrestler. He's a great wrestler, but do people take him all that seriously with with his gesticulations and his facials and his actions and his want to entertain. That slippery slope of, you know, if Vince ever finds out Rich Swann plays piano or guitar type of thing, where you go, oh God, if he finds out about the chainsaw spot, we're all screwed because he's going to be doing that every week.
And of course, we're all speculating here because, yeah. I mean, for all we know, you know, Kenny Omega, it's not like he's conquered New Japan, right? He's been the junior champion, but he has not been the IWGP champion.
He's still on the ascent. He is still on the ascent in New Japan. He has not completed everything he can do in New Japan. So I think this is the wrong time for him to jump, if you want to be perfectly honest.
I just don't see him being a big superstar on the main event roster. But at the same time, I gave AJ Styles more of a chance. And this isn't because they don't have the talent, because Kenny Omega is a super talent, might be one of the best wrestlers in the world. But I, you know, you, especially right now, you come in right now when the Undertaker is back and Brock is back and Goldberg's back.
Yeah.
And you have right now, we've been talking for the last couple of weeks about how Kevin Owens and AJ Styles might not even have singles matches on WrestleMania because it's just getting really crowded. You think Kenny Omega is going to come in and have an important singles match at WrestleMania? He's going to be a pop for Royal Rumble. And I'm not even sure if he's going to get a pop at the Royal Rumble. So I don't even know if the San Antonio crowd is going to really even know who Kenny Omega is.
No. And, you know,
if
you
want to do knock on him,
no, if you want to do historical hindsight booking, if that Wrestling Retribution project had come out, Kenny Omega would be a much bigger star right now, but it didn't. So we have to go with what we have.
Yeah. So would a lot of people, I would imagine, actually be a lot bigger stars than they are. All right. So Kenny Omega is off the wheel. We kind of talked about New Japan. Let's finish the New Japan Tour in the year as the U.S. because if people don't realize that, July, 1st and 2nd, I believe, in Los Angeles, New Japan is coming for two G1 preview shows, probably going to have a couple of singles matches or at least most of the talent who's going to be in the G1 for some four and five man five-way tags. What do you make of New Japan coming to the U.S. and what is undoubtedly their goal to really plant their feet in the U.S. with no help from like a Ring of Honor or other promotion? They're coming in here and trying to make the United States a strong secondary market for them.
It's a bold move. I think Long Beach is a view to set that up. I'll go, probably. It'll be interesting. It's always an interesting test to see if wrestling fans are wrestling fans or if they're WWE fans. It really is, especially the crossover, because you can talk about New Japan to your friends who watch WWE, but if they're only watching WWE and that's the only style they know, it may be a style shock to a lot of people. Some people just watch that and go, I don't get the moves. They just keep doing a lot of moves. Where's the, you know, where's the characters and things of that nature? I mean, look, we love it because we're wrestling fans and we were always hardcore wrestling fans. But there are fans out there who like the WWE. So I think it's a bold move. I think Los Angeles is a good barometer, not necessarily the strongest, I think, to pick, but it's strong. You know, you could always pick another place where indie wrestling is hotter, I guess, but you know, Los Angeles is still a hot market. You have a Japanese market there in Los Angeles as well, which helps. I think it's a bold move. I think it's a strong move, and I think they'll be moderately successful, to be honest with you. People are going to travel, I think, for that show. What do you think?
I don't know if they'll travel long distances, maybe just because it's the first like true New Japan shows in a long time.
Let me posit something to you about this because of the proximity and because of just the situation. Did New Japan running in the ROH Vegas shows, does that hurt the specialness of New Japan running a show in Long Beach?
I honestly think people are getting ready for New Japan by themselves and not with the stink of Ring of Honor. Cause Ring of Honor fans are quite annoyed with, you know, how one-sided sometimes the matches are. They make them more predictable when you're wrestling ROH guy versus New Japan guy in singles matches, because it always seemed like the New Japan guys had the win. So if you're going to wrestle New Japan versus New Japan, I think you have to have something important on there. And most likely it'll be like a never championship match. It won't be like anything singles wise important, but you put a never championship match on there. You put a never six man championship match on the other night. And that gives a little something special to the shows, and the rest of the card can be, you know, 8 and 10 man tags. But I don't think the ROH connection hurts them. I think if they keep doing the ROH shows while trying to run New Japan programs by themselves in the States, that would hurt them. That overexposes it a bit. I think they're ready to just kind of cut Ring of Honor loose. Really? I mean, the partnership's going to be ending soon because they're coming to the US, and if they're trying to compete even on a little scale with WWE, what do you think that means for Ring of Honor? You know, they're bypassing Ring of Honor. They can take Ring of Honor's place on the West Coast. They can run them. If they ran a lot of the buildings Ring of Honor ran as New Japan solo shows and maybe had the Ring of Honor guys like Michael Elgin, Kyle O'Reilly, although Kyle O'Reilly looks like he may be out the door. We'll see if we get him on our wheel of topics. Young Bucks, you have the Young Bucks on the New Japan shows and off the Ring of Honor shows. You never know. I mean, they could outrun Ring of Honor in Ring of Honor's own locations.
Yeah, I think, you know, the junior tag match that they'll probably have with the Young Bucks will be fine. If they run too many of these 10-man tags and don't give you at least one really spectacular singles match, I think they may... They're not going to lose that crowd because that crowd is going to be hardcore New Japan people. But at the same time, it's going to come off as they were there to just do a show.
Let's we had a question here that is in quotes, so I'm sure it's a mocking question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I don't care. Andy on the Twitter feed at Shake Them Ropes again, guys, asks, has Shawn Michaels ever been funny?
Yes.
Which day?
I mean,
and which hour of Raw was it?
Oh, that time he super kicked the chef when Hunter was trying to bring him back. He was working at the cafeteria, and he just super kicked the
dude. Shawn Michaels has one of the best punchlines in pro wrestling, and that is the super kick.
Yes,
because the super kick is what makes a lot of the stuff he does funny. Otherwise, no, especially new era Shawn Michaels after he found God. He was not funny.
He plays to the back of the room, which gets annoying. There's no subtlety in his reactions whatsoever. But yes, if he super kicks someone as a punchline, it's usually funny. There was also one with, I think, Santino Marella, where he was playing like a secret agent or something. I forgot what that one was, but he ended up super kicking him then, and that was pretty cool. I mean, you know, he has his moments, but I understand how people, you know, his comedy is a law of diminishing returns, like Little People's Court. And just when they're out there just killing time and amusing themselves, it becomes
Little People's Court was the courtroom under the ring, right? Where they had to travel under the ring and found this, like it was a whole new world. This is what we're going to do. This is what we do when we run out of the top 100 matches, Jeff, is we just revisit segments like that. And we'll review these segments, the 100 worst segments on WWE TV history.
Worst?
We'll create the list. We'll create the list.
No, I don't want to watch bad things. I want to watch things that get me excited.
The 100 most hilariously bad sent. Like, I'm talking Katie Vick up in here. I'm talking the embalming of Steve Austin. Up in here.
White Castle of Fear.
Sure.
On WCW. Oh, geez. I hate you.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Every Kane match.
That sounds like a passion project for you.
Does it? Does it sound like a passion project? Okay. All right. Well, give the I'm gonna give the wheel another spin here. Please, because you have the topics
in front of you.
No, they're on the wheel that you're spinning. We got Kenny Omega out of the way, we got New Japan touring the US out of the way. So we have Kyle O'Reilly left. We have race and gender discrimination in wrestling. We have how Donald Trump's presidency might affect WWE. We have the UK tournament coming up this weekend. We have Chris Hero returns, and we have the Drifter and Tino Sabatelli main eventing WrestleMania. Those are the topics. We'll see what it lands on. I'm giving the wheel a spin here. It is spinning. I really want race and gender discrimination. Come on, race and gender discrimination. And then the wheel has stopped. Jeff, what do we got?
Oh, the UK tournament.
UK tournament. UK tournament on WWE Network is coming up this Saturday and Sunday, starting at 3 Eastern, everybody. 8 govern, what is it? Greenwich Mean Time, for all you fancy pants out there. But 3 Eastern here in the United States. There was a nice article, a nice preview up at Voices of Wrestling by Oliver Court, talking about all of the UK Championship Tournament participants. We had some late arrivals recently. We had Martin Stone, who is a Florida, Georgia, U.S. indie wrestler who apparently might be moving back to the UK if he hasn't already, to really take over that scene. He's been wrestling on NXT a lot with the name Danny Burch. We got Mark Andrews, fresh off of TNA. Mark Andrews is a late arrival to the tournament, as well as some other big UK indie scene names. Martin Stone, I reached out to someone, friend of the show, that I wanted to know what was going on with Danny Burch, because you and I kind of talked about Martin Stone here before the show started. Martin Stone, a guy who has been with WWE before, has wrestled on NXT tapings a lot. I believed he lived in the U.S., and I thought he still was, but maybe he's moving back to the U.K. I just thought it was odd that they would be, if he's still living in the U.S., that they would have brought him to the U.K. for this U.K. tournament show if he was only going to wrestle one or two times, and especially only one time, although he is wrestling in the first round against a performer that you think might win.
Yeah, because they made a big deal on the preview on the network of Jordan Devlin, who was trained by Finn Balor. So, and he was really the one guy they really focused on quite a bit. I tend to think, I mean, it depends on what you think of how they handled 205 Live, to be honest with you, because do they think that you put the championship on a fresh young baby face who you hope has that charisma to carry a brand? Or do you put on a guy with maybe a little bit more veteran presence as a heel that guy can then chase to help build the territory? And I'm kind of, I'm kind of going back and forth, because I think, and it also depends on quite photo who of these guys they've signed. But I mean, I think, yeah. Look, I think your final four here, just looking at the brackets, I really think it's probably going to be Devlin and Trent Seven on the top half, and then probably Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews on the bottom half. And then I'm thinking Jordan Devlin and Pete Dunne in the finals.
Yeah, there are...
Pete Dunne's great. I like Pete Dunne a lot. I think his bruiserweight gimmick is pretty good. A lot of these guys are kind of unknowns, which gives the WWE a chance to build in its own fashion without necessarily ticking off, people who are, people may look at guys as retreads or has-beens, or, people that they stole from their favorite, Progress or what have you. But I think Jordan Devlin's the guy that they're looking at and going, this guy's going to be a star.
James Drake is a guy. Well, I first saw this James Drake on the, there is a 17-minute UK tournament preview special up on the WWE network right now, giving a quick look at all the participants in the match. James Drake is a guy that reminded me of a long-haired Seth Green, and that is not a good thing. just an annoying face. I don't know what it is. Just an annoying face. Of course, you got Danny Burch in there as Martin Stone. Wolfgang. I liked Wolfgang enough to where I don't know if he's going to win. I don't know who's going to win this thing. I'm going to watch, not live, of course.
Right.
Not, of course, but there's other things going on. I got work. I got football. But I'll watch it. This will be more of like a binge thing. I may even wait until next week and just kind of binge the whole tournament, maybe skipping a few of the first round matches. But this isn't the thing you have to watch live. But if you do have time on the weekend, it's a cool concept. You got two live events on WWE Network happening this weekend, two of them. And it's not an NXT and a Royal Rumble. You got that coming a couple of weeks later. This is pretty good value for this network right now. This is the stuff that I want to see them doing more, whether it's showing on the house shows, whether you're going to do a two-day women's tournament, you eventually do a Japanese tournament, which is coming, it is. Maybe you eventually do a Mexico tournament, I don't know. Even a Best of North America, where you just have a bunch of indie stars from Canada, U.S., and Mexico. You can do more of these two-day tournaments. It's a cool, nice little thing. And of course, Triple H said it in the opening press conference. It's a real thing. It's not a gimmick. They want to do a U.K. show, and they're going to use some of these stars to do a one-hour U.K. show, whether it's every single week or whether it's just for a 10-week run. Who knows? But yeah, they're gonna keep some of these guys. I got to feel like my favorites right now are Trent Seven or Pete Dunne, and Pete Dunne's probably my favorite to win, but he might be a lot of people's favorite.
I'm thinking Pete Dunne wins, and then they just have Devlin Chase. I think one of the reasons that Martin Stone is in that first round match against Devlin is because he's kind of been there and he can help Devlin go through the match. I think that's going to be, I mean, in terms of WWE style and kind of playing that whole thing. I think that's the reason they match those two up there. I think Dunne would be a great choice to carry this division. And remember, this really isn't for us in the States. It's really to try and help establish a territory in the UK that hopefully people who are subscribed here in the States will then watch. And I think Nigel McGuinness will help that crossover effect greatly, depending on how he does on color commentary.
I want to get into some polls. We ran this poll last week. We talked about it on the show with NXT, but before we get that, you ran a poll today. At Crap Game 13, you ran a poll asking which is worse, Elias Sampson on guitar or Percy Watson's commentary on NXT. And overwhelmingly, 75% of the people said Percy Watson's commentary on NXT. I ask you, Jeff, because it's abysmal. Is he? Corey Graves wasn't great when he first started, but Corey Graves is excellent now. Is Percy Watson a guy who can come back from his slow start, or is this what we're getting with Percy Watson? Is he beyond help?
I think the way that he's probably being coached, he's beyond help. He's possibly the worst color commentator NXT has had. The only other person I can think of that was as bad was Renee Young when she was doing color.
Renee was pretty bad at commentary. And that experiment didn't last very long, but she's in a much better role. I mean, she's great on these panel hosting duties. She's great with the backstage interviews. Mm-hmm. She'll be great on camera in these. I mean, right now, I think Miz and Maryse versus Dean and Renee, if that's really the direction they want to go for, like a WrestleMania, Renee's going to be really good on the mic. She's just a natural, real personality, but she was not good on commentary. And that's right. Okay, to say, everybody. Some people are not good on commentary.
It's good to play to your strengths occasionally, even though WWE doesn't do it a lot. I don't, you know, he might. I mean, look, you never say never that someone can't recover and can't all of a sudden become a great commentator, but I think you have to turn off his headset in order for that to happen, possibly, because, you know, he's coming off to me like he's a little bit gun shy in terms of saying anything because he may get yelled at through the headset in terms of how he's being produced or at least criticized. And he's not terribly sure of himself when he does speak. So I don't know. I just think I think the three man booths working for Aries, Corey and Mauro quite well. I think Aries is doing great on the Raw show. When he does his little pop-ins, I just never saw Percy as that kind of, he has a different kind of charisma than one that transfers in audio.
I would agree with that. We ran the poll last week. We talked about it. Is NXT cold right now? And of course we ran this on a Wednesday. They did the TV tapings the very next day. Is NXT cold right now? We had 77% with 600 votes. 77% said yes, that NXT is cold right now. The other 23% saying no. So the overwhelming opinion was that NXT was cold right now. But then the next night, and we're just going to get to this one here. Chris Hero came back as Cassius Ohno. You know, we talked about it weeks and weeks ago. We had it that Chris Hero was returning to WWE. Then a couple of days later, Ryan Satin reported that he was going to be in NXT and likely using the name Cassius Ohno. That came to be. Cassius Ohno is back. And in his return, you know, he left WWE and NXT kind of fledgling. You know, he would win matches here and there. He would lose, but he was never a big star or anything. Now he's coming back and looking like he's going to be right in the title picture, whether that's Bobby Roode or Shinsuke Nakamura. It certainly looks like he's headed for that NXT championship. Cassius Ohno is back. Does that change all of a sudden NXT from being cold to maybe average, or is it hot again?
It won't be hot until he becomes a major player on television, I don't think. I think we have to do this.
Getting the championship, and that's not happening anytime soon. I think that NXT remains cold. Like, I'm not super hyped and passionate about it. I mean, that's what we'll do. We'll look at this NXT card.
Yeah, go ahead. I liked the show tonight. I thought NXT was pretty good tonight because they set up the four-way. If it's going to happen, or at least, you know, for the women's title, I thought they had a nice angle there and they had a pretty good DIY They're really, Nikki Cross is great in that, by the way. I mean, I want that to be one-on-one.
She's awesome.
I like the Australians. I just think I think a one-on-one between Asuka and Nikki Cross would be far more compelling for me.
I want the one-on-one too. And there's a couple of one-on-ones I want with Asuka, the other being Ember Moon. I think that's going to be huge. And I think that's your WrestleMania weekend match. But I want to see Nikki Cross go one-on-one too. I'm glad it's a four-way, because this way Nikki Cross doesn't have to lose to Asuka, because I think Nikki Cross and Ember Moon are both like long-term challengers. Mm-hmm. And if you just get Nikki Cross out of the way and then do Ember Moon, well, then what do you got? You got Nikki Cross who's lost to Asuka. Maybe you do the redemption, but I like that they're not doing the singles match here. Although at the same time, it obviously hurts the card, because the singles match with Nikki Cross and Asuka would be much better.
Right. Billy Cross has eaten the pin. Whatever happened, she's the one that's
good. Billy Kay.
Yeah. And they had a really good DIY revival match, but you'd expect that between those two teams. Here's my question. I don't know if I brought this up already to you. I know I've talked about it with other people. Is this using the Cassius Ohno name? Is this them just being stubborn and saying, well, that's what he was on an actual NXT show that was on the network before he left? So we're going to just make him use that, and that has some heft to it, and we're going to make it work this time? Or is that just me kind of reading into things? Because I don't understand what kind of – why would you not use Chris Hero? Why? That's where he built his name. The Cassius Ohno name has no real not necessarily marketability, because you already put all the KO stuff on Kevin Owens. Well, I don't understand this.
We've seen it.
I don't understand this.
Yep, we've seen it with Damo. Damo's getting a new name, even though they've mentioned it on television the last couple of weeks. I mean, he's Killian Dane or something like that. So he's getting a new name. Tommy End got a new name. And those were guys that their names weren't that well built up on the indie scene either. You know, obviously much more in the UK than it was here. Chris Hero's names was kind of built up, but it's not like he was on TV anywhere. Roderick Strong had been on TV with TNA and been on TV with Ring of Honor. Chris Hero hadn't been on TV much lately since being Cassius Ohno in NXT. And if they didn't have the Cassius Ohno name already, I think he would have come in as Chris Hero. I don't think they would have changed the name. But because the Cassius Ohno name had already been on NXT, you can already see there was merchandise out for it. You can already see matches of Cassius Ohno on the network. They just bring him in and put him on the name. You know, Chris Hero is good enough to where the name's not going to matter. It's just not going to matter. So I don't see that big of a deal in it. Bring him back in as the name that he had before. It's not that big of a deal. And I don't think that's going to hurt him in any way. If he comes in and, you know, I don't think anything really hurt him in his last run, but Cassius Ohno working Shinsuke Nakamura, I mean, that's a WrestleMania main event as far as the NXT takeover for WrestleMania. That's a huge NXT match. Chris Hero versus Shinsuke Nakamura, no matter what.
Oh, I'm geeked for that. Oh yes. Give me that every day of the week.
But you look at this card and you got Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode coming up in San Antonio. You got the four-way with Asuka, Nikki Cross, Billy Kay, and Peyton Royce. DIY versus the Authors of Pain and Ty Dillinger versus Eric Young. That's your card right now. That's your card right now for this.
And they had a Shinsuke promo tonight that really didn't do much to build up the Rude thing, in my opinion.
This is quite possibly the weakest NXT TakeOver card since NXT TakeOvers have begun. Could be the worst one. I mean, and we're talking the first main event was Bo Dallas and Neville, right? I mean, we're not talking about these great matches here on some of these takeovers. This might be the weakest card. Good name value. You don't know what Samoa Joe is going to do. You don't know if anything. You don't know what Roderick Strong is going to do. We don't have any other tag teams on the show, but nothing was really built up, I don't believe, at the tapings, you know, last week. So I mean, this might be, I'm pretty sure we're missing one match. Like there's one match that was supposed to happen, but I'm not seeing what that's going to be. I don't think Cassius Ohno is going to be in the card. I mean, Cassius Ohno is not going to be coming until February. So even if I had all these people tweeting us, because we put this poll out on Wednesday, and then of course Thursday, Chris Hero comes back. And a lot of people were tweeting us the poll, like, run a new poll. Is NXT hot now? Of course it is. Chris Hero is making NXT hot. He's not going to be appearing on TV until February.
You know what you're getting away from this? That.
And if he's
not,
you
know what you gotta get with this?
Hold on. If he's not wrestling until WrestleMania weekend, April 1st, I mean, we're talking about 3 months away. Is NXT hot right now just because Chris Hero might be wrestling in 3 months? No.
No. And what you're going to get here is you're going to get a solid but not water cooler talk show, I think. You know, when in previous, in almost every other previous incarnation, NXT has had a match that has overshadowed the main card. You're not going to get that.
Oh,
that's
no.
What you're not. It's going to be solid, and people are going to be disappointed because there's nothing exemplary. That's what's going to happen.
We had Dave Meltzer came out on the Wrestling Observer newsletter this week and talked about how Shane Thorne, who is the absolute better half of TM61, Shane Thorne is hurt and he's going to miss several months with a knee injury. So that knocks out a serious tag team that could have had some big things happening with DIY and the Revival. So unless you go back to DIY and the Revival, the tag team scene is kind of burnt right now. It's not good when the Authors of Pain are up there clogging it. And storyline-wise, maybe the Authors of Pain are going to be super cool. And maybe something really neat is going to happen with them. And you have this big underdog story eventually with them holding the tag team titles and someone trying to take it from them, even if it's the Revival. Who knows? But right now, Authors of Pain are clogging up that tag team division. Shinsuke Nakamura and Bobby Roode. I love Shinsuke. Bobby Roode's clogging up that heavyweight division. And Shinsuke hasn't done much. You know, the Samoa Joe matches weren't great. The Sami Zayn match was excellent. But that was a year ago coming home, right? And that's been a long time. The Austin Aries match wasn't that good. So you're trying to find the right opponent for Shinsuke too. There's a lot of log jams here in this division. Eric Young and Ty Dillinger does nothing except for the fact that maybe Ty Dillinger wins a takeover match. But that's all that's good for, because Eric Young is no good. Eric Young shouldn't be there. And that's a guy clogging up spots. And if the eventual move is Eric Young is just there to get the rest of the Sanity guys over, that's fine. If he helps do that. But Alexander Wolf and Big Damo can be on, could be doing something else without Eric Young and get over just as much as I think Eric Young would help them. So there's a lot of question marks in this division, and not everything is going to be solved by new guys coming in. Who is up on top right now needs to change, not just who's on TV.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the stories need to be built a bit better. The feuds need to be built a bit better. Even Joe's not on this card, to my knowledge.
As of I'm trying to find what the missing match is, because I'm pretty sure there's a mass match, and I just can't think of what it was from the tapings, and I can't seem to find it. So I don't know. Before we get to our top 100 match, let's get to one more topic on the wheel of topics today. We got Kyle O'Reilly remaining, race and gender discrimination, Donald Trump, and the Drifter. Main eventing WrestleMania will give the
all right. Wheel. I'm intrigued because it's more intellectual. What is the race and gender discrimination one?
Well, only if the wheel stops on it. I don't want to jump ahead of the topics that everyone on the fine Twitter machine had given to us. So we'll spin the wheel here. We're spinning the wheel. It's spinning. We're going to find out. I hope it lands on race and gender too, man. That's what I want to talk. I want to get into some deep, heavy topics here on Shake Them Ropes. And the wheel stopped. Kyle O'Reilly is where the wheel has stopped. Kyle O'Reilly was advertised in a big Ring of Honor main event match, a main event tag team match for Atlanta coming up, I believe this weekend, maybe in a week or two. He is off and he is out of the Ring of Honor roster. Do you think Kyle O'Reilly's coming into NXT finally?
I think it's possible, but one possibility I haven't heard is that he's one of these Flow Slam exclusive guys.
Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly maybe going to the Evolve, because this was a big thing that Flow Slam might want to, with their money going into like Evolve and WWN, that WWN might be signing some more guys to exclusive deals, you know, taken from Ring of Honor, taking the indie guys who weren't quite going to WWE, but might be giving a little bit more money to go with WWN than the Ring of Honor or others or New Japan. So yeah, that,
but overall,
Kyle O'Reilly could be going to WWN.
Yeah, but overall, I think he has NXT darling written all over him.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. Talk about that'll be cool. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong in an NXT ring, at the NXT live events and maybe eventually at a takeover or something like that. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, Kyle O'Reilly, maybe the next guy coming your way. Kyle O'Reilly is a guy who's going to get a new name. He's not a name keeper guy. That's how you differentiate now. What do you think about that? This will be the one SmackDown thing we get into. What about that John Cena promo before the Baron Corbin match?
Hated it.
What?
Absolutely loathed it.
Wait a second. Oh, hold the phone.
Yes.
How on
just like I hated the American Alpha promo. I hated the American Alpha promo.
Well, yeah, American Alpha promo wasn't the, they're not good at promos, man. They're just good at going out there and winning.
Here's the one thing I wanted off of either show was the American Alpha thing. And I'll get to your John Cena point in a moment, because I'll tell you, John Cena is easy to do. American Alpha, I'm just upset that they're not booking them as a straight ahead white meat baby face tag team. That's, you know, aw shucks. And maybe even a little bit hokey. They even on Talking Smack, Mojo came off as a better genuine baby face than American Alpha, who came off kind of dickish, to be honest with you. I thought, I mean, they even had to address it. Well, we're not being cocky. We're being confident. Well, you sound kind of cocky to me.
Yeah, there's a fine line between cocky and confident, too. And if you have to address it, you've overgone the line.
Exactly. The John Cena promo
was great. This is the full John fire. No. Made me hyped up. Oh, I won. I'm such a big Baron Corbin fan. And I listened to that John Cena promo and was like, man, John Cena, just stuff Baron Corbin down. You are the guy. It is your time. Win that World Heavyweight Championship. Bury AJ Styles underneath your strength and your championship charisma. Just go get it.
And that's the John Cena I don't like. I love serious John Cena. I love angry John Cena. This is put on a close to Dusty Rhodes accent, you know, playful energy. Oh, all the fans tonight are saying their piece out here tonight. Ooh, wait, you know, that kind of crap. I don't like that John Cena. That's what I felt. It felt like put upon John Cena to me. That felt like song and dance man John Cena to me. It felt like, you know, rapping, you know, thug life John Cena to me. I didn't like it that much. I liked the match. I didn't agree with beating Baron Corbin like that necessarily, but I didn't like that promo. I'm sorry. Are you being serious up. Or are you being facetious?
Oh no, I was fired up. I love John Cena promos like that where you get super serious. No, you love that. I thought the John Cena promo was excellent.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't buy he was fired up. I felt it was an act. When I feel he's fired up, I like John Cena.
I mean, they are acting. And John Cena's a pretty good actor. I mean, you know.
Don't you parse what I just told you to me, son.
What about you're a touring comedian and improv specialist. What do you think about Dustin Diamond's comedy career?
Oh, jeez.
And the reason I bring this up is because Dustin Diamond is playing a bar 5 minutes from my house tomorrow night.
Oh, is he?
That's a true story.
Is he trying to? Is this $18
tickets, son?
Is he doing stand up, or is this one of those like one person show where he tells stories from the set and things like that? I didn't realize he was out of jail, to be honest with you.
I believe he tries to do stand up. I'm pretty sure he tries. I don't believe it's just like story time with Dustin Diamond. I think he tries to do stand up.
I don't think he's good, but
he's not good.
Well, look, but I don't want to. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to knock his trying, because he's basically using his celebrity to try and restart his showbiz career by doing stand-up. Stand-up is not an easy art form. I mean, Dolph Ziggler can attest to that. It is not easy to be you on a microphone with nobody else there helping you, talking to an audience, usually jokes you've written down in a notebook and you're trying out or you know, and that you're testing. It's a hard art form. But what do I think of it? Probably the same way John Wayne Bobbitt. It's you know, it's what C-list celebrities do to try and get their career restarted.
$18 tickets.
You must be drunk. Who's paying? You know what it's going to be? It's going to be a bunch of drunk people heckling him to do Saved by the Bell.
It's all, they just paying $18 to go heckle him. It's got to be that way. But yeah, I won't be there to find out, sadly, unless I really have a change of heart at the last minute. Dustin Diamond. Yeah, look at him playing old at Elkhart, Indiana. Before we get to the top 100, and we'll get back to the wheel shortly after the top 100, I wanted to get this Royal Rumble card, and we'll do our full preview the week before the show, but this Royal Rumble card is stacked, man. I mean, it's got Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. We got AJ and John Cena. We got Charlotte and Bayley. And we got Rich Swann and Neville now for the Cruiserweight Championship. One or two of these undercard matches undoubtedly will end in screw jobs or countouts or something. It's just the way that it is. Not every match is going to be a true victory for somebody. Then you have the Royal Rumble itself. And we got some new names. The big one being Undertaker, who no longer works for SmackDown. I mean, hooray that whole... you know, SmackDown, you know, Rue Ross speech a couple of months ago, trying to kick that SmackDown team in the gear. He's just going wherever he wants. We finally got some new names on SmackDown. Last week, it was just Baron Corbin. Now we got Dean, Miz, and Dolph headed into the match. But yeah, stacked, loaded card for Royal Rumble. This might be the most excited I've been for a WWE pay-per-view in a long time, maybe even since last year's Rumble.
Yeah, there's more intrigue in this Rumble. I think for me, there's more intrigue in this Rumble since 92, when they had the title on the line and is often considered the most star-powered and best of the Royal Rumbles. Because usually you have two or three guys who are really in the mix to win it, but you have so many main event matches that you're looking at right now for WrestleMania that there's like six or seven or even eight guys you can see winning this Rumble and thinking of a way around it in order to make it happen.
Now I briefly mentioned the Undertaker there. Undertaker on Raw announced that he was going to be in the Rumble. This is what Dave Meltzer has to say in this week's Wrestling Observer, and try to listen very closely. Everything you know about WrestleMania's card right now will be the same after you read this and hear it. So I guess maybe you don't have to listen too closely. But in regards to Undertaker and so forth, this is what Dave Meltzer has to say. There have been some changes made in the WrestleMania plans, as noted in recent weeks, with a major thing being that the proposed Undertaker versus John Cena match is off the boards. Vince changed his mind on the match, which was to be one of the two biggest matches in 2016, and at one point one of the top matches for WrestleMania 33. The card will be clearer coming out of the Royal Rumble, no duh. Undertaker and whoever was to challenge for the Universal title on Raw would have been the Rumble favorites if the idea was to go with the tradition and have the Rumble winner challenge for one of the two major titles at Mania. While connecting dots can come up with a pretty good idea of the show, which of course Dave doesn't go into because everything has to be vague, the key things known is that Undertaker right now is not scheduled to challenge for either title at WrestleMania. He did appear on the 1-9 Raw show after first arriving on SmackDown, because when he was on SmackDown, it was to build for him to face Cena. Now he will face someone on the Raw roster. There was a tease of Braun Strowman, but it will not be Strowman as things stand right now. So basically what you get from this is nothing. Mm-hmm. But Undertaker facing a Raw guy is a little bit of a change, because I would have thought this was the year for Undertaker Cena. And if that is not going to be the case, it sounds even more likely, right, that John Cena is probably winning the title at Royal Rumble, and maybe he faces AJ again. Maybe it's a rematch. But John Cena is going to be in the title match on the SmackDown side. He has to be, right?
Yes, I think so. I think his coronation to tie Flair's record is at WrestleMania. So yeah, I think he's in there.
Now, maybe there's a better chance now that John Cena, AJ at Royal Rumble could end in some type of schmoz. That could be the match that ends kind of goofily. And you have John Cena, AJ in the rematch at WrestleMania instead of, you know, changing the title here. Maybe John Cena goes into WrestleMania needing that last victory to tie Ric Flair's record. You never know. But to your point earlier, the Royal Rumble's super intriguing because you don't know who's going to win. And there are a ton of big names. Like, how does Brock Lesnar get eliminated? How does Goldberg get eliminated? How is the Undertaker possibly going to get eliminated? Will John Cena end up in the Royal Rumble match if he fails to win against AJ Styles? Could AJ Styles wind up in the Royal Rumble match if he loses the championship? And what the hell is going to go on with Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho? Because Roman Reigns winning the title at Royal Rumble is almost like, if I had to put money on one match, I'd put it on the Roman Reigns-Kevin Owens match with Roman Reigns winning.
I agree.
This is some Rumble card, but if Undertaker John Cena is not happening, then that just throws more questions into it. Dave doesn't answer anything here. Just kind of, you know, states the obvious about what's going on, but that's fine. You never know what's going on until the time comes to put pen to paper and cement matches.
Let's do some reckless speculation here then.
Reckless speculation.
if Undertaker is to face a Raw guy and it's not Braun Strowman,
who the hell could it be?
Exactly.
Could it be not Kevin Owens?
No, because he's going to be with Jericho, I think. And it's probably not going to be Reigns, because he'd probably be stuck with Braun. And then you have Rollins and Triple H.
Can I wildly and recklessly speculate while also trying to not speculate recklessly? Like, I don't think Undertaker just making the announcement on Raw necessarily means he's going to face a Raw guy. I just think it means that they booked him for the Raw show and he didn't want to work the Tuesday that show.
Oh, I think he was on the show only to try and counteract the ratings hit they were going to take from the national title game. I have no thinking that it had anything to do with being a Raw guy, other than the fact that they did the little cut in of Braun watching the Undertaker on the TV. That's the only inkling. And I just thought that might be Braun.
It definitely screams like it would be Braun if it's not going to be anyone else. And man, that's one of those Undertaker matches that popped up before he had the string with Triple H and Shawn Michaels. I mean, this guy was wrestling Batista before Batista was that great. He was wrestling Mark Henry. He was wrestling Kane. This is what Undertaker usually did, was wrestle the Braun Strowmans of the world. So I could easily see Braun Strowman happening. But if he is indeed wrestling Braun Strowman, this told me that Undertaker's probably coming back for the WrestleMania next year too. Like, if he's going to wrestle Braun Strowman on this show, this ain't like this is maybe Undertaker's last WrestleMania. There's no way if he's wrestling Braun, he thinks it's his last WrestleMania. But I don't know who else on Raw you would give him to. Unless he wins the Rumble and takes out Kevin Owens.
I know.
Or Roman. You could do Undertaker Roman, I guess.
I mean, you could give him Kane.
You can't. Is Kane on SmackDown?
I think Kane is on SmackDown. Whatever the hell. I think he's on SmackDown. I think you're right.
Because I seem to remember him beating up Curt Hawkins a couple of times, and then who knows what the hell Curt Hawkins is doing anymore. I don't know. But that's your WrestleMania update for the card to WrestleMania. I'm super hyped about this Royal Rumble show.
Like, I'm excited about the Rumble. I really am. Yeah.
This is huge. Now, it sounds like tickets aren't selling super well for the Royal Rumble this year in San Antonio. The Alamo Dome, I think they're going to have a struggle to fit the tickets there. Like, there's a bunch of, you can go on to StubHub and get tickets for under face value right now. And that's kind of abnormal the last couple of years with a Royal Rumble show. So the interest, I don't know if the interest is down. How many
No, seats? It's the venue's too big. Yeah. They've outkicked their coverage on this because San Antonio, other than the Alamo.
Oh, 40,000. Jesus.
Doesn't have anything. It has nothing to be a travel destination for a number of days. So
40,000 people with a ring in there, maybe 35 with the stage and everything like that. But that's crazy. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. And that's a lot to expect at the end of January, whereas people have already just taken off work probably for the holidays.
Yeah. Our top 100 match this week is Macho King Randy Savage versus Ultimate Warrior from WrestleMania 7. This was the retirement match. Randy Savage or Ultimate Warrior would be forced to retire. This match took place at WrestleMania 7. The very first thing you see before both men make their entrance, Jeff, is Elizabeth being shown at ringside. Elizabeth making her return, looking super nervous. Bobby Heenan just happened to see her. The crowd goes wild. And you have 20 minutes of wrestling with Macho King Randy Savage bumping his ass off. Sensational Sherry, who was accompanying Randy Savage to the ring, was interrupting things with Ultimate Warrior to provide the every 5 minute breather, basically, for Ultimate Warrior on this match. But Randy Savage bumping his ass off reminded me a lot of Dolph Ziggler in this match, which is wrong on so many levels to think, I think, but that's what he reminded me of. What'd you think about this WrestleMania 7 clash, which was on the middle of the card, went 20 minutes between Randy Savage and Ultimate Warrior?
Also of note is for the Intercontinental title.
Yes.
In the run up for this match, they show how we all came to here, and it features one of my favorite beatdowns ever. In that, Randy Savage is hiding in the shadows.
It is not for the Intercontinental Championship. That match is later on the show. It was
I thought winner goes with the Intercontinental title, loser leaves.
No. Okay. It's just loser.
Okay, my fault. Okay. Well, anyways, it features one of my favorite beatdowns ever, in that Randy Savage is literally hiding in the shadows and comes out and jumps Ultimate Warrior from behind. I thought that was fantastic staging, whoever did that. This match, number one, the MVP of this match is Sherry Martel. She is great in this, doing the interruptions, getting the pacing for this match, taking bumps like a champ. One thing you can never say about Sherry Martel is that she wasn't game. And, you know, they uglied her up enough because she wasn't a bad-looking woman, especially in the AWA. But when she came here, they made her look, you know, witchy. And in this, she's just she's almost a third person in this match. That's how much she interferes in it. It's mind-boggling. Yeah, it's mind-boggling.
And you know me, Jeff. I don't like the face paint. So obviously, when Sensational Sherry comes out with the face paint, like that's a huge negative on me. Like I will boo you with face paint. I will boo everyone.
My general note from this match, watching it, I enjoyed the match much more than I thought I would on a rewatch. When you tell me I'm going to be watching an Ultimate Warrior match, I'm like, whatever.
And especially a 20-minute one.
It's a 20-minute match in slow motion. It's in slow motion. And yeah, Randy bumps his ass off, but they aren't doing that much. There's a lot of stalling in the match, but it tells a compelling story. And Gorilla and Bobby Heenan do a great job of saying, well, the reason it's going so slow, the reason Ultimate Warrior didn't run down to the ring is because of the seriousness of this, because the careers are on the line. The one spot for me that fascinated me to no end was the five elbow spots on the Ultimate Warrior, because I am almost positive that's a rib on Hogan. It's a rib on Hogan to make Ultimate Warrior seem better than Hulk Hogan, who kicked out of four elbows in that match at WrestleMania, as you'll recall, when they did the big breakup of the Mega Powers. You know, and for to me, the one thing that just I don't know about you, but when I saw the end of this match, how it ended, where he just gets him in the ring, rolls him, puts his foot on him, and counts for three. That was almost like Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker. I just kind of had to look up and went, wait, what? That's the end?
What happened?
That's it? At the end of the match, how they got the pinfall was that Ultimate Warrior gives a shoulder block to Randy Savage. Randy Savage gets bumped out of the ring. He crawls up to the apron. Ultimate Warrior pulls him by the hair into the ring, rolls him over, puts his foot on him, counts 1, 2, 3. And that's how the match ends. Like a fart in church. And then Sherry Martel puts the boots to Savage. Elizabeth climbs out from her seat.
The best spot in the whole show.
Let me tell you something. For all the stupid, random crowd shots they get, whoever produced this, showing all these women crying at Randy Savage and Elizabeth being reunited, fantastic job. Just fantastic, because it got me a little bit weepy, too. I was like, oh, this is so beautiful, and then I realized I'm an idiot. And then Randy Savage kind of got pastured into color commentating and hosting primetime wrestling a bit.
Yeah, it wasn't all bad. I mean, later that year, he would have the SummerSlam wedding with Miss Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a year later, he was the world champion of Earth. So retirement wasn't so bad for Randy Savage.
Undertaker lasted a few more months, or not Undertaker, but Ultimate Warrior lasted a couple more months and got fired. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. But that's so here we are at number 6 on our top 100 countdown, about ready to head in the top 5. And you're thinking to yourself maybe that, oh, Randy Savage and Ultimate Warrior was Randy Savage's best match on the top 100 countdown? I mean, what? We only have 5 more to go. No. WrestleMania 3, Randy versus Ricky Steamboat is still to come on this list. So, yeah, Randy Savage had 2 of the top 6 matches on the top 100 matches to see on WWE Network before you die. Next week is Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio, match number 5 on the top 100 countdown, WCW Halloween Havoc 1997. Eddie versus Ray, Havoc, 1997. Before we get to the final spin of the wheel of topics, I wanted to make an announcement that is not a big announcement by any means. But Jeff, I think what we're going to do this weekend, or what I'm going to do at least, you don't have to do it. You may have plans, whatever the case may be. Sunday night, I think what's going to happen is I'm going to watch a Royal Rumble. I asked people on Twitter earlier last week, like, what Royal Rumble match should I watch? And I'm going to watch one. I think it's going to end up being the 2001 Royal Rumble match. I'm going to watch the 2001 Royal Rumble match, and I'm going to live tweet it at Shake Them Ropes. So you can follow along with the 2001 Royal Rumble if you want to. Sunday night, probably around 10-ish, 10 p.m., most likely 9 or 10 p.m. Eastern. So
why 2001?
Huh? That was just, it was one that was suggested by multiple people. So I'm just going to listen to the people. I believe that's also the one with Drew Carey, if I'm mistaken. That might be the one. Maybe that's 2002. I'm not sure. But if it's the Drew Carey one, that also means it's the Haku one. This could also just be the one where Kurt Hennig comes back as Mr. Perfect. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't researched it.
No, that's 2004.
That's 2004? Okay. Well, anyway, I know. Is it 2004? Yeah. Anyway, it was suggested by multiple people. I'm going to listen to the people, and I'm going to watch the 2001 Royal Rumble, and I will tweet the time. So follow the Twitter feed at Shake Them Ropes. Watch it with me. We can talk about it as we watch it, and I will live tweet Royal Rumble 2001 coming up on Sunday night. So follow along with that. And I want to thank our sponsor, Mack Weldon. Again, MackWeldon.com/nothing. Just go to MackWeldon.com and shop. Use your promo code STR. You save 20% off your first order. Try it out. Thank them for sponsoring us. How did you like your Blue Apron food, Jeff?
Oh, I loved it. I thought we were going to do an ad for it, possibly. That's I was asking you on the chat here. But
yeah, we got Blue Apron coming up in a couple of weeks, but I know you got to try it out. I hope anyone who ordered from last week has enjoyed your food. Go to blueapron.com/shake, and you get three meals free. Three meals on us, so you can eat for a couple of days for free just by going to blueapron.com/shake, try out the meals.
The flagship did an ad this week, but no, one of the best things I ever ate was in this Blue Apron gimmick. I absolutely adored this dish that they sent me. So
go check it out. Like, it's really good food, and you can feel like, accomplished by making your own food, and, one less day of fast food never hurt anyone. You know what I mean? So it's good. I need to eat less fast food. I need to get on this Blue Apron myself again. So thank Blue Apron and Mack Weldon for being sponsors on Shake Them Ropes. Let's spin the wheel. One last topic here on Shake Them Ropes, episode 191. We're spinning the wheel. Spinning the wheel, we got race and gender discrimination still. We got Donald Trump's America, and we got the Drifter main eventing WrestleMania. Jeff, the wheel is slowing down. Let me know what it comes up on.